dialed at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord! I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Booga booga, I eat poopy diapers.
He can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 56 of Three in the Box, your Below Zero Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, January 4th, 2015.
Yay!
2015.
Yeah. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about losses, December woes, and the Wild's fading playoff chances. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey.
Hey, it's 2015. How you guys doing?
2015. I never even thought I'd live this long.
Weren't we supposed to all be dead in 2012?
Yeah.
I think that guy driving around in that van who said it was going to happen like on Memorial Day or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was by your old house with the, he had the whole like Winnebago with the...
Yeah, he showed up to the Cinco de Mayo Fest with his fleet of Winnebagos with the world's about to end decals on the side.
So what do you think he did with his van when we all lived?
Probably got him re-decal for the next year. At least we can joke about this because it's better than talking about the Wild's last last month.
Well, that was kind of like the end of the, well, maybe. Yeah. End of the, who knows?
Are you saying that's the end of the world? This is our personal Y2K?
Pretty much.
Well, I guess without further ado, we'll get right into
it. We'll get into it.
So, as I alluded to, it's been a rough 2 weeks for the Wild, as not even the holiday break seems to have helped them. They got 3 points out of the home-and-home against Winnipeg, which is, you know, a good thing. But then they had a loss against Philly, loss against Columbus. They had a decent game against the Leafs, winning in regulation for what was the first time, I think, since December 9th.
Wow.
But then they folded like a cheap card table against the Stars last night. Just a putrid 7-1 game. You know, the Wild have had a bunch of shuffling of lines and players with Brodin, Sutter, Granlund, Backstrom, and Zucker missing time in the past 2 weeks because of illness or injury. Hala getting scratched due to lack of quality play, and I don't know if it's hustle or just not having his mind in the game. And then we had Tyler Greivac getting called up for a couple games, and it seemed to be doing all right, you know, in his couple game, you know, cup of coffee here.
Yeah.
But I guess my question is it fair to place the poor performance over the past couple weeks on the revolving doors of our roster?
Yes and no. Yes, because, I mean, you got guys that haven't played with each other, not used to playing with each other, not used to playing in the NHL. You know, that's going to take a little time to adjust. No, on the other hand, because you are a professional athlete and you should be able to, you know, be able to adapt to those situations. Poor playing performance with your line mates does not excuse not being able to do your general skill set of putting a puck in a net.
Well, and that's the thing, is that these are all NHL teams, and, I mean, other teams are dealing with similar issues as well. Other teams have injuries that they need to overcome and illnesses. The mumps has not been singled out to just the Wild. I mean, this has been league-wide that it's
no, and after problems, the mumps, so, it's neurovirus, yeah, right. And after neurovirus, you get food poisoning, thank you, Kemper. Right. Which, you know, all of a sudden you have two supposed NHL caliber goalies out and you pull up your third stringer from Iowa when they brought up Curry.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's easy to point the blame at the number of players that have missed time in the last week or two here. But and the thing is this is the same team that has won at a different point in this year and did quite well. So it's hard to put your finger on what's wrong right now. Cause this team is broken right now.
Broken is I think, maybe a little on the light side on how to put this team currently. I would say broken and missing a few pieces so you can't put the whole back together.
Right. Well, and, you know, I'm going to do my best not to bring us further down.
Sorry. I'm feeling, again, like the...
We probably should have prefaced this show by giving out the suicide prevention hotline number. Because this is, I think, this is how this episode is going to go.
You can all join us in AA tomorrow night.
You know, if we had open phone lines, I'm sure everyone would be calling up, bitching about some facet of the Wild organization, be it Yo, be it Vanek, be it
Kemper,
Backstrom, you know, whoever. I mean,
I think Vanek has actually been doing this stretch.
Vanek got the only goal for the Wild against Dallas, and it happened to be a power play goal.
So basically, he had a Torrey Hunter goal, you know. So he had a goal in a tremendous loss. Way to go. But anyway, not to bring everyone further down, but, you know, the Wild went 4-5-3 in December. Now sit just 2 points ahead of the bottom feeders, Colorado. During the Yo era, the Wild have gone 15-20-6 in the month of December. The Wild have not won back-to-back games since mid-November and haven't won back-to-back games in regulation since early November. So the Wild have been struggling is an understatement. Last year, we know the Wild turned things around after the new year. They had a really rough December. But this is a different year, and there are different set of challenges. Like we just discussed, our team's been ravaged by illness and injuries. Goaltending has been streaky at best. Several veterans are underperforming, like we were talking about Vanek, Pominville, Koivu. And you could probably even throw Suter in there right now.
Suter hasn't been the same since he came back from the mumps.
He has. Something is not right. He's been making. He made, I think it was the Toronto game. He made a boneheaded delay of game play.
He shot it from the not the top of the circles, the bottom of the circles on the other end of the ice.
And cleared
the
glass on the other end of the ice. You don't see that very often.
Right? No.
And then he almost did it again, I think, yesterday. So it's like something doesn't appear to be right with Suter.
Maybe they don't have the bionic man quite right with them. They need a firmware update. He's overshooting.
The robot is broken. Visit Quick Trip.
Oil change.
And get a conditioner from that one company that I check people in commercial. Suterbot 2000.
Oh, the $10 million man? $12 million? $11
million? I thought it was like 833 or something like that.
Well, I guess we could just go flat out and say the $70 million or $80 million man.
That would probably be sufficient as well. But I guess just really... My question is can this team be fixed? And if so, you know, what does the Wild need to do? I mean, you got people calling for Yo's head. It's gotten so bad, people are going, well, maybe it's not even Yo. Maybe it's a problem with Fletcher.
What else can Fletcher do? I mean, he's given Yo all this, all-star talent, whether it's all-star current or all-star, you know, 6 years ago.
Yeah, is Fletcher bringing in washed-up talent? I mean...
That's quite possible.
So are you saying it's Yo's fault, though, that he's not doing more with the all-star talent he's got?
I'm thinking quite possibly that Yo is trying to change what made these guys all-stars into almost forcing them into his system, and it's not working proper. I mean, I don't think I've seen Koivu go through a slump as bad as he has so far this year. I haven't seen, while the power play alone is now just kind of starting to come around, maybe.
I think the power play has actually been one of the one shining points over the last couple weeks. Is, I mean, comparatively to
how it had been, yeah. Absolutely.
Man, at one point, I think, I want to say they were like 5 out of 20... That didn't include the last night when I last heard that statistic.
They've actually improved to 26th in the league. And considering how bad they were to begin start of the year,
that's actually a pretty big jump.
I think
Fletcher's biggest downfall right now is not and you know, it's gonna be tough for him to go about, but at the beginning of the season not dealing with the goalie situation properly.
Well,
but I mean
I think we'd have to say that Harding really screwed
the pooch on that one.
He didn't just screw his career, he screwed the Wild this year. That caused us to not be able to send Kemper down.
Well,
because Kemper was struggling well before that. We could have had him sitting down in Iowa, and we'd be having a whole different conversation. We might be talking now because, you know, Harding is struggling now with MS stuff.
Again, about the same time that happened last year.
And, you know, we might be talking about, well, we should bring out Kemper, and it'll be good that he's backing up Backstrom now. Yeah. But we're not having that conversation. Now we're like, we're stuck. We can't do anything with Kemper because we can't set him down without getting him through waivers. Backstrom ain't going to go anywhere. So we've hitched our boat to these two guys.
But they did also give a tryout to another pro-level goalie after they...
Who's got a...
Killer
pad set in Anaheim now, I gotta say. It looks pretty badass.
But I guess they...
Good thing we didn't get rid of that sample.
I guess they felt comfortable that, you know, they had what they needed, and they turned that away. So.
Well, here's what would have happened. Even had Harding not broken his foot, it would have been Harding and Backstrom probably up here, like you said, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Kemper down in Iowa. Well, with Backstrom being as sick as... You know, as sick as often as he was, Kemper probably still would have been coming up and not getting much playing time down in Iowa or up here at that point, and who knows where he'd be sitting. Maybe for the better, maybe for the worse. Yeah. But I think, you know, like you said, Harding kind of screwed the Wild in more ways than one, because A, you took out your number one goalie that was planning on being your number one at the beginning of the season by breaking his foot. Consequently, it also kind of forced Fletcher's hand with Kemper and his agent to sign something to make sure that they had another pro-level goalie. There's a chance that they may not have even bid on Kemper at that point and stuck with Curry as the number one goalie down in Iowa with whoever's backing him up right
Gustafson,
and kept Harding and Backstrom, which would have also at that point opened up some more salary space, even though I think Kemper is not taking I don't believe he's hitting the Wild salary cap right now.
I think he is, but it's minimal.
It's minimal, though. It's So, really, I mean, people should be looking at Lynch and Kemper, or I'm sorry, Harding, for the goalie situation.
Yeah, I don't know if a lynching is in order, but I mean, definitely that has affected, you know, how the team is going. But really, knowing his situation, you think that the Wild would have maybe had a plan or a backup plan for something like that. You can't have a person who, you know, in the past has had trouble with something that's not very predictable, but you know that it could very well. There's a likely chance that something could go wrong with medications or whatever. So beyond the broken foot, I mean, you'd think that the Wild would have been thinking ahead of that and had a plan B.
Well, and maybe it really comes down to, maybe it is Fletcher's fault because this team doesn't have depth. I mean, we don't have guys sitting in Iowa waiting to fill spots. I think we've gotten all right results considering who we've been pulling up, you know, Bickle and Sutter, you know, they're guys that are always going to be floating between the AHL and the NHL.
They're not
everyday guys.
Folan,
I think he's going to be an NHLer, but we've gotten lucky with him to a degree. But I don't think he's really, you know, we're struggling. Well, I really think it also goes back to, you know, our veterans are underperforming.
Oh, absolutely.
Woefully. I mean, like we already talked about Suter. Koivu has been shambles. Pominville has been invisible.
Vanek is just starting to kind of come around.
Kind of, but he still turns the puck over several times in a game, forcing passes that aren't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and I guess in my opinion, how can you blame a coach for the way that the players perform on the ice? I mean, the coach is responsible for, you know, playing the right people at the right times. And probably finding the chemistry there. So maybe you could blame him for the chemistry, or not putting his players into, you know, great positions. But at the end of the day, I mean, you can see it in some of the performances that we've had of late that, you know,
two words.
There's something missing from the players' side of things.
Two words. Ken Hitchcock. That guy can turn any team around.
Those are two names.
Well,
okay.
It's two words.
Or so three words.
So you're suggesting him to turn a team around.
Well, I mean, he comes in as a coach. I mean, was it St. Louis a couple years back when they pulled him in and brought him around from a team that wasn't even looking like making playoffs? And
yeah, they won the cup.
They won the cup.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. That's going to be my point. Is that's great. He can come in, and he's coming in when the team's at their lowest. So they're bound to rebound.
But they still made playoffs coming from a team that was looking on the outside quite drastically.
You could say the same thing about Daryl Sutter in L.A. I think basically both those guys walked into situations where the teams were underperforming woefully.
Kind of like the Wild are.
And they were probably inaccurately attributed the boost that they got when it was bound to happen anyway. They just regressed back to the talent level they were at.
Well, again, though, I mean, you know, you got those two both coming in, Sutter and Hitchcock, seeing what talent was there and using it to its best. And at that point, it is on the coach to actually get the guys lined up.
But do we think Yo is the problem here?
I'm just throwing it out there as fodder.
I do see that the one problem that I guess I have with Yo would be his fire. I mean, or his lack thereof. You'll see other coaches that get rather excited on the
the bench, like Wah, and where is Colorado sitting?
Yeah, that's fine.
I see you growing some horns and a tail. You just like playing devil's advocate tonight.
That's fine, but I still, if your coach has no fire, how are you going to have any fire? I mean, there's no, I guess, I don't see the urgency, and maybe he's just you know, that calm and cool of a person, and that's great.
Or but, maybe he saves that for the locker room when the cameras aren't on him.
And that's the other possibility, is that there's areas that we don't see him as a coach. And I mean, maybe he is really great with the players on the back end side of things, and that's what they're seeing right now in Yo. But other than that, I've seen a lot of line juggling, no constants. Like, really, you would like to see us at this point in the season a solid first line. But we still, you know, I mean, yeah, we've got injuries and things like that going on, but there is still no decisive first line for the Minnesota.
Is that
Wild.
Yo's fault, though? Or is the players' fault for being so goddamn inconsistent?
Well, and sometimes you got to ride some of those things out, and you would hope that, you know, other line mates would pick up their fellow line mates when they're in a slump. And I think that, I mean,
if you mentioned
it before, that you keep shifting the lines around, nobody's going to learn to play with each other. I mean, great lines form, and they just know. Well, you just know where your other teammate is going to be. I don't have to be looking. I know he's right there.
Well, and if you also look at it, though, he had Granlund, Pominville, and Parisi, who did really well in the playoffs and even did well at the start of this year. he rode them as basically the number one line for quite some time, but then they stopped producing, and it's like, at some point you had to fish or cut bait, you know, and, you know, if they're as a group aren't producing, maybe you do have to shuffle. Maybe the thought of keeping the same lines game in, game out is an outdated way of looking at, you know, way you structure a team from a coach's perspective.
It could be.
Because what happens when you get injuries? You're going to have to shuffle lines anyway. And in this sport, we know injuries and the mumps are inevitable. You know?
Well, what about some of the other coaching, though? Our goaltending has not been that great. Is no. Bob Mason finally done?
And I see that, and that worries me, not because of Bob Mason, but because the only way I see us changing our goaltending is we're going to release Backstrom or Kemper, because Kemper's not going to make it through waivers, I don't think. I
think he's got too big of a price on his head right now.
Honestly, I think the biggest problem on this team is the goaltending. And between Kemper and Backstrom, they're just – I don't think they're playoff, you know, Stanley Cup goalies, you know, Stanley Cup champion goalies. I just don't see it.
And that's a key piece that you need to go.
You know what we should do? Send them both to Washington, because we already know Ovechkin's allergic to the cup. He can't win one to save his life. So we might as well just send both of those two to Washington. We'll take Washington's goalies and we'll be all set.
Wait, then Washington would have two Nicholas Backstroms. That'd be very confusing.
That would be awesome. Well, I mean, only one's going to skate. We saw what happened when Backstrom tried skating with the puck against Dallas.
Which Backstrom?
Nicholas. Yeah.
Well, speaking of playoffs and our chances here.
Yeah, the Wild currently have an 18-15-4 record. That's good enough for 11th place right now in the Western Conference. Currently, the Wild are sitting on the outside, looking in once again. And after, you know, the previously mentioned troubles that they've had here, that they experienced in December, we got an uphill battle that we're looking at here just to get into a wild card slot.
Right. You know?
So with that, their recent trend, 3-4-3 in the last 10 games, you know, can they still make their way into a playoff spot?
Well, let's take a quick poll here. Kenny, do you think the Wild make the playoffs?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yeah.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Yeah.
Jive, what do you think?
At this point, actually, I'm thinking that...
we've seen this before, though.
Yeah, we have. But unless something drastically changes and they get on a hot streak, that's obvious that they won't make it. Will they get something turned around here? I think it all depends in ways on the goalies, and we need a hot hand in goal is what we really need.
Yeah, and so is that a yes or a no? You danced around it, but are the Wild making the playoffs, yes or no?
I'm going to go on the books for saying no at this point.
And, you know, I think they can. I don't – if Kemper and Backstrom are – playing the remainder of the season as their top two goalies, I don't after last night was a heartbreaking game. Yeah. You give up 7 goals, and they pulled Kemper's been pulled so many times this year. That was his first road pulling of the year, but he's already been pulled, I think, 5 times at home.
And what does that do for a guy's confidence level too? I mean,
well,
not saying that he didn't deserve to be pulled or hasn't deserved to be pulled, but, I mean, he's got to know then that he's, you know, sitting on a fine line there too.
Right. So. Well, and then it doesn't help. And then Backstrom comes in and, you know, tries to pass the puck and
gives up a shorty.
As you were talking about, yeah. I mean, it's like these goalies aren't that good right now. Maybe Kemper will be great in a few years, but he's just not there yet. Yeah.
And Backstrom, we know he's on the tail end of his career. He,
right.
You know, once was a decent goaltender. I mean, and now he's, you know, a serviceable backup, really.
Right. And Kemper's.
Sort of.
And Kemper's playing like a backup. And we need him to play like Jonathan Quick if we think we're going to have a chance to make the playoffs.
We don't have a number one goalie.
No. And that's unfortunate because we need that. And I don't think, unless Kemper changes things drastically, because I don't think Backstrom is going to be that number one. I have a tough time seeing this team making the playoffs at this point. This division is too tough. This conference is too tough.
It is.
I mean, the Wild have a good record against our division right now. We'll see if that holds.
And that's the thing, is they, who have they played within the division, though, you know?
Right.
But with that said, I mean, even if the Wild do make the playoffs, is there even any chance that they would go deep, go past the first or the second round? I mean,
well, I mean, if they make the playoffs, let's take that. I'm going to go back to what I said, and I think it'll be because Kemper's playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
And if you go into the playoffs with a hot goalie,
anything's well. Playoffs are a second season in and of itself.
Yeah, if Kemper's playing hot going into the playoffs, I see no reason why they couldn't go make a deep run. I
will go maybe to the conference finals.
Yeah,
but I think after that, I think it's gonna be. We won the games we needed to up to this point, and, you know, maybe some of it was luck, some skill, but I think at that point, once you get to the conference playoffs, I think there's way too much skill in the Western Conference, and they're just going to get outplayed.
And I have to agree with that. I mean, I think it would probably end up being something similar to last year's playoffs, where, you know, we had a good first series out of the playoffs. It was a close one between us and Colorado. And, I mean, maybe it ends up with a similar situation. Probably not against Colorado this year. But it would
take a miracle if both us and Colorado got into the playoffs this year.
Weirder things have happened.
Right. Maybe the guy got his 2-5 backwards.
Yeah.
Did he have, like, the number upside down so it looked like a to the guy who was by your old place, the end of the world guy?
Oh. Man, maybe.
Right. But, you know, like you say, we would need to have the hot goaltender, or, you know, some things just need to really, really shore up and come to fruition with this team, because beyond even the goaltending, we're not getting exactly the production, I guess, that was expected. When you can only score one goal, like in a game last night. I mean, I know they've had several. I do have to say that they've had several games where there's been multiple goals, and that's a little bit of a change from the past, where we've had some rather low-scoring games, and we won based on defense.
Well, and you know what's changed in the last couple weeks that we haven't really talked about, but it's changed from the beginning of the season. The Wild aren't out-shooting teams anymore.
No.
And that's been a definite change.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe other teams have figured out what the Wild's game plan is and have played around that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I see him getting beat physically.
Yeah, maybe that's, I mean, that's possible, you know. I noticed that a lot, you know, it seemed early in the season, a lot of the Wild offensive zone time was predicated on speed and passes, you know, long, sharp passes to guys that were cheating ahead a little bit. And you don't see that very often anymore. The passes are getting intercepted. Or their errant passes, the pitcher's bad passes. So I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it too. I don't know.
And then, I mean, I always go back to, we need more physical play.
We at least need. I think we need a little bit more grinders. Guys that are willing to get gritty and get dirty.
Right. It may be even a little bit, you know, more size to our team. I mean,
we've got big guys, but they're just not unwilling to do anything with that.
Yeah,
but you get guys like Koivu and Coil who
we got big guys that just want to dangle. You know, they don't want to
get
dirty. And
yeah,
we need big guys that want to be physical.
Problem is getting a big physical guy that can also score and be productive scoring wise. That's like a red-billed woodpecker or whatever, you know.
Can we just have one or the other at least?
Well, we have and we lose.
Well, okay. Well, yeah, because they're not scoring.
Right. And, you know, we need scoring, period. If it's a matter of we need some guys with physicality to, you know, complement our scorers, I think Yo's tried that, but it hasn't worked out really. Yeah. Because those guys aren't talented enough to actually score, you know, a few here and a few there. And we have guys that, you know, just don't score, period, you know?
So, you speak of Yo, I mean, basically, we kind of touched on this earlier here, but with the pieces that have been put into place, I mean, who's going to be on the hot seat at the end of the year if the Wild don't make it to the playoffs or if the Wild don't go deep even this year? I mean, they've went out, they've done what they said they needed to do and spending some money. Is this going to be on Yo? Is this going to be on Fletcher? I mean,
if they don't make the playoffs, I see Yo being gone after this season.
I don't see it happening, and here's why. Yo just signed a 3-year contract after last season. It's pretty rare for a guy to be let go after his first year of a new contract. I just have a tough time seeing that. The only way I see that happening is if Fletcher is let go and
new management comes in.
New GM comes in and wants clean house.
If that's the case, then I see pretty much the entire coaching staff getting, maybe not all canned, but definitely some major realignment and some movement with the coaching staff.
If Fletcher's gone, I don't see the rest of the. We're going to see a whole different team next year. It's going to be completely different. That's what I see.
All right. Well, how about this? What about some more recent changes that should have happened? What about last night?
You mean the change that did happen?
The change that did happen. You know, like,
did you see that ludicrous display last night?
That's so, saying it lightly.
So we've touched on it, but you know, a 7-1 spanking. I think that's the worst Wild loss in the team history, if I remember reading that properly.
Oh, really?
But I guess the biggest part was the 12:23 mark of the second period against Dallas, the full-on line brawl. So a few interesting facts. So prior to the brawl, Cook got his stick slashed in half, no penalty. Bickle, fending off two guys at the same time, and there was no third man in called. Bickle also got...
Daly.
Well, in general.
Right.
I mean, just the fact that he's fighting off two guys, there's a third man in somewhere.
Yeah, he's fighting Demers, and Daly jumps in, holds his arms down, while Demers continues to punch him in the face.
So...
And no one gets the third man in.
Well, and then, I mean, Bickle was also on the bottom of that pile as Demers was kind of throwing another couple of cheap shots in at him.
Giving him what for?
So... Bickle set a Wild record for most penalty minutes in a game with 39 minutes, but at that 12:23 mark, he got 37 of those 39 minutes.
He tied the record of 37 minutes just at the 12:23 mark.
Yeah, and then broke it because of 2 minutes that he got earlier in the period.
Right.
So that out of that whole scrum, there were 64 penalty minutes dished out. Half of them went to Bickle. The Wild got 44 out of them, and Dallas got 20. So
sounds like a fair split to me.
Yeah, you know, there is no call on the slash that happened to Cook prior. In fact, I think the linesman even tried sending Cook to the box when he was standing around with one of the Dallas players, the only two not fighting at the time.
Well, and, you know, maybe the refs thought that, you know, because the score was lopsided towards Dallas, that that meant they deserve less penalties as well.
Oh, that could be.
You know.
Less goals equates to less guys on ice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's considering what we've seen with officiating this year, would it be that surprising?
No, not at all. So out of all this stuff, the Wild end up coming out down two guys. So it was a 5-on-3 for a full 2 minutes. I think that was like the only time that Dallas did not score on the Wild was when they were up two guys.
When the Wild are in
a... I mean, Dallas scored 5 goals in that second period. So
I mean, I guess how many different ways is this not assessed or dished out properly? Or did we kind of cover them all? What else did you guys see that was completely just missed?
I mean, I really think that third man in,
Daly.
That was, it's blatant. You could see it. I mean,
they're right in front of the refs.
Right.
Refs are looking right at this.
Didn't two of them pull him off of Bickle?
Right. It's
and how there was no call for that, I don't understand. And then, I mean, Cook did bring, you know, a good point to the refs, showing them his stick broken in half.
He was standing there with his broken stick and his new stick.
Yeah.
Not to bring this back, but, you know, could it be that Yo, playing this line right after an icing call, right? Put this line on the ice right after an icing call.
Aiming for something.
You know, is this Yo showing his fire? Isn't this, can you say?
Maybe. I mean, that's pretty cheap, though, because usually you don't send guys out to fight guys that have been out on the ice for a while. That's kind of the cheap move to do.
Yeah.
But, you know,
trying to flex what little muscle he has. And
it obviously didn't work very well because they still got completely pounded.
Well, after that point, the Wild were only outscored 2-1 for the rest of the game. You know, so, I mean,
things got turned around.
How's that for some silver linings here?
Well...
Way to look at the bright side.
I know. I'm an eternal optimist.
So also looking back, should this have been a game that Grailvac was not a healthy scratch that they had him up here? Some guy who was willing to scrap a little bit more? I mean, right before all this brawl happened, we did have Prosser out there. Prosser got into it with one of Dallas's top line guys.
Yeah, but I don't think Grailvac's really... That's not really his thing, though.
He's got the size and the grit...
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, his first professional fight was against Brett Sutter last year.
Ironically. Why not fight teammates?
Well, they weren't teammates at the time.
Why not fight your future teammates? Can't you see the future?
Well, you know, it obviously worked very well for Boogie and the Fridge.
Yeah, but he's not a point. He's not, you know, 2 penalty minutes a game kind of guy. He's a scorer. He's a little more well-rounded than just a face puncher.
This is true.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But can he win face-offs?
I guess that's really the ultimate question, is it not?
Does he have a pet rabbit?
I think Kenny is trying to bring Kanapka back.
No. Ooh, Kanapka.
Bringing Kanapka back.
Although, had Kanapka been on that line, because that was a fourth line, we would have seen Kanapka get punched a few times.
This is true. That would have been damn entertaining, I know that.
You know. I don't know. That was just absolute, I think, sloppy officiating, especially with how the numbers were dished out.
I mean, usually in a thing like this, unless it's something egregiously where, you know, the Wild were mugging them and... You know, Carter had maybe had a late hit, you know. I could see the Wild getting an extra roughing for that. But for it to be so lopsided, it's laughable, you know.
When one player gets more penalty minutes than the other team does for an entire line brawl.
Almost twice as many minutes.
Yeah, for an entire line brawl.
When he was being double teamed himself.
On top of it. Yeah, that was bad. I mean... I wish the NHL would at least maybe start fining some of these officials for some of this stuff, like especially some blatant calls like that. But you know, or suspending the officials.
Yeah. I don't know if you can go that route either, because then your officials wouldn't, they end up not wanting to make any calls, or they just call everything.
Or you could just start suspending players who get in fights.
No. That wouldn't be any fun, no. though, would it?
I knew that was going to be a popular thing to say. So
we're going to take fighting out of the NHL. I thought they already tried to do that.
I don't think we want to go down this road right now, do we? I think we've kind of discussed that. I think I'm going to leave that on the side.
It's an icy road.
It is. It's Minnesota. It's January. You know?
It's very icy. It's slick. So, yeah, that was the ludicrous, absolute bad 7-1 loss.
Yeah.
Plus losing on the end of the officials. Unless the officials are trying to send Yo a message like, you're going to throw out your grinder line when these guys just got an icing.
You know, I guess it's possible.
But taking it all out on one guy who was getting double teamed?
You usually don't see officials do that, though. I mean,
and
unless they got the same names.
You'll see officials warn a coach and say, you got to switch your lines. Because we saw that, I think, last year with Tortorella in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Sending out his goon line.
Well, that was right. That was when the huge. Wasn't that when they had like three brawls right off the bat at the beginning of the game? Was that Vancouver and Calgary?
I think so, yeah. So, I mean, that makes sense if they were to warn Yo, say, hey, this is not cool. But I don't think that was... The thing is that whole setup wasn't a... We're just looking to fight. I mean, they took the draw.
It started from the hit from Carter.
You could actually even go further back because,
the slashing on Cook.
The slashing on Cook, and then...
But Cook was nowhere near there when all that happened.
And Carter gives it a little extra shove, and then...
And then Carter gets mobbed.
It all boils over at that point.
Yeah.
And it was really, I mean, it was the normal kind of shoving after the whistle in the front of the net that
it
occurs.
Exploded pretty quick, though, because Carter lost his helmet right away, and he paired off.
Yeah, a Fiddler started wailing away with his gloves on.
And at that point, when I saw Carter, I mean, I think he was in more of a defensive position, just trying to protect his head. He wasn't really, you know...
They were squared up. I mean, punches. He wasn't in the best position, but they were definitely squared up, because I think Carter
had his
gloves
on. But initially,
he was in just, whoa, yeah.
Right, he wasn't looking to fight initially, at least. So I don't think that was Yo... if it was, Yo was just trying to get some physicality out there.
Yeah.
I don't think Yo was trying to... Send a message, you know.
Right, we're not that team.
No, we don't have the
guys. We don't
have
the personnel to be that team.
No,
right.
But I mean, if you're gonna do it, why not? You know, why not Bickle? I guess.
Well, what really kind of surprised me is Follin was out there too.
He's just in there going, I want nothing to do with this.
Well, Follin had a full head over the guy who he was kind of squared up with, and nothing happened. I think the dude who was matched up with Follin was like, I want nothing to do with this.
This looks like a very bad idea. I do not want to get injured. Speaking of injuries, though.
Injuries. So we still have Ballard out indefinitely with a facial fracture and concussion.
I think last we heard, it sounds like he doesn't need surgery, so that's a good thing.
That is a very good thing. Obviously, with concussions, since I think we talked about a previous podcast or one of them, there being that he has had concussions in the past, taking it a little slower, making sure he's all right. The other big one that hurts the most, I think, right now is Granlund is expected to be out 4 weeks after undergoing wrist surgery December 29th. And that all stems from a big hit he took from Bufflin in the first of the home-and-home games against the Jets. Big Buff, in the words of Russo, slammed him into the glass like a pillow. So with the Wild already slumping, how bad is this?
Was it like a pillow fight then?
Pillow fight!
Were feathers flying?
You know, he did tape his wrist up that game, came back and got an assist. So... Maybe, you know, maybe a hyperextended broke, but obviously pretty bad if he had to undergo surgery for it. But how bad is this going to hurt losing your number one center with an already slumping team?
Well, it definitely doesn't do anything for what the Wild have, but it does put a little bit of salt in the wound of all the other goings on with injuries and illnesses that have been going around.
It's like, can't we just have the mumps again, please?
Right. At least then you recover in a few days, right?
Right.
So.
Well, but I hope they at least put him like in his own ward away from everybody so he can't catch anything while he's in the hospital.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I've looked at the video a few times and again, rewatched it, and it seems pretty innocuous. It doesn't seem
happened just right. And
yeah, and he just fell just wrong, and I don't know that the hit was particularly cheap or anything like that. It may have been a little late or something like that, but
was it less than 0.7 seconds?
Right. It certainly wasn't like the Ballard hit that Martin laid out on Ballard and took Ballard out. It looks just like a bad circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to hurt. I mean, luckily the Wild have some depth at center, but, you know, with Hollow, they benched Hollow because he wasn't winning faceoffs.
And that was on the first game that Granlund was out. So right. you lost two Finns that game
alone
that are, you know, number one and number three.
Is this our problem? No finish presence?
We're losing Finns.
We're not able to finish.
Oh.
No.
That's what she said.
Oh, boy.
Wow, this just took a turn.
Okay, so with that, we got an upcoming week. Hopefully, we'll see some wins, maybe. We got a bunch of home games.
Maybe.
Sharks at the Wild, Blackhawks at the Wild, Predators at the Wild, and then Wild at the Blackhawks.
We've got quite the tough schedule coming up.
That's a hell of a four-game stretch.
Piece of cake.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe the Wild will just start trying to like play up to their opponents, and they'll just come out of their shell and just be crazy good.
Well, that's three divisional games this week. They need a win.
Agreed.
If they're going to gain any ground here and turn things around for Yo, they need to win at least those three divisional games.
Let's see. Nashville is leading the division. Chicago's right behind Nashville, both tied with 54 points. And then San Jose is, they're floating about 5 points above the Wild, but they are in the number eight spot right now in the West.
Do they have the wild card spot?
I believe right they now. Do.
At this point, I think they are.
I think they do.
Yeah. So,
yeah. They do. Actually, just above Calgary.
There we go. All right.
Game of the week. So, last week's, I guess you'll say, our game of the week was...
Wait a minute. Last week?
Weeks?
Last week's or last week's?
Weeks. Last week's weeks?
Last week's weeks. Yeah.
The game of the last... past 2 weeks
was Flyers there versus the go. Wild.
The last game before the Christmas break.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yep.
That was a Tuesday night or something.
Yeah, that's why we went with that game, because it was before they had a 3-day break. Anyways,
Kenny would know because he's got the least points.
I get to keep picking.
Well, we all picked the Wild to win, figuring they had to win. Because it was the Flyers, and we were all wrong. Flyers, of course, win. They won 5-2. I'm not even going to go over the goals because it doesn't matter because we all lost. So Kenny's still in last place, so he picks the game of the week, and that is...
That'll be the game that we'll be in attendance at.
Woohoo!
Sharks at Wild. Right. So, and I'm going to... be a non-homer this time and take the Sharks winning.
First time not picking the Wild.
I figure that way, if the Wild win, I'll take the loss. If the Wild lose, I can gain some points.
There you go. It's a win-win situation for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron?
And I'm going to go with the Wild winning. After getting shellacked by Dallas, I'm hoping they can pull a win out. I think it's going to be a low score. I'm hoping it's going to be low scoring, and I'm hoping the Wild come out on top, going with 5 goals on that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't see this streak continuing. It can't continue this poorly. They're going to have
to... Tell that to Colorado.
Right. They're going to have to get on the right side of things here. Last January, the Wild did, you know, pull it off. They got a little hot in January. So I'm hoping that this is going to be the start of a streak here. So I'm going to go with the Wild pulling it off, and I'll go for a total goals of 5 as well.
All right. I don't know. Did I say my total goals?
I don't think you did.
I was thinking about that. I was like, I know I said San Jose.
San Jose with how many?
I'm going to go with 7. I think it's going to be another shoot 'em up game.
A 4-3, hopefully.
Yeah, for some reason I keep thinking 5-2, but I'm hoping I'm wrong on that.
I hope so, too. Well, we'll wrap things up here. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me, my personal account, on Twitter at Aaron3ITB. Lastly, blatant plug for my band, Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com. Kenny.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, mainly retweeting audio and random stupid stuff.
Jive.
Yeah, and you can follow me. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Peace.
Hello!